How is the Lutheran teaching about the Lord's Supper distinct from other Christian confessions? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
Position of support among prominent conservatives for same-sex marriage, marriage equality, has moved rapidly in the past year. Can you say where you are on this issue?
Yes, I am for marriage. I am for fidelity. I am for love, whether it's a man and a woman, a man and a man.
Okay.
And I think the ship has sailed, and I think that the church needs to just, this is the world that we are living in, and we need to affirm people wherever they are.
Great. Good.
Well, that's Rob Bell. He was speaking in San Francisco at Grace Cathedral, asked a question among many questions that he was entertaining about marriage equality, same-sex marriage, and he affirms his support for same-sex marriage. He believes in marriage. He believes in love. He believes in fidelity. How do you respond to that? Rob Bell is one of, or has been in the past, one of the leading emergent church leaders, and we've spoken recently with Chris Roseborough about how fast, how far the emergent church has gone in denying the basic teachings of Holy Scripture. Here is another example. Joining us to talk about the emergent church leader Rob Bell's endorsement this weekend of same-sex marriage, Chris Roseborough. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
How do you respond to Rob Bell? He says he's for marriage, he's for love, and he's for fidelity, and he's for however, whatever form that takes among whatever partners practice it.
Well, let me give you a glib answer. I'm for the Dodgers, and I'm also for the Indianapolis Colts. And so because of that, I think Christians need to just get with the program and support and get behind the Dodgers and the Indianapolis Colts. In other words, the problem here is that who cares what his opinion is? Our opinions do not rise to the level of Christian doctrine. What our foibles are, our preferences or our thoughts or our theological speculations have no bearing on what God has revealed in His Word and what the faith once delivered for to the saints is. And how anybody would think that because Rob Bell has an opinion of this kind that somehow we need to then as Christians listen to him basically does a very interesting thing. It makes it so that Jesus is no longer the Lord of the church, but Rob Bell is, or the culture is, or your opinions are, and not Jesus Christ. And that's the primary problem with what he said and this entire approach that people are taking when it comes to trying to decide what the church should believe, teach, and confess in this early part of the 21st century.
As far as you can tell, how did Rob Bell arrive at this particular opinion about same-sex marriage?
Well, if you've read the New Yorker article, there was a few months back, Rob Bell was interviewed by the New Yorker, and in that article, he divulged the fact that very early on, after he had planted Mars Hill Bible Church up in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, he had something of a crisis of faith, if you would, and it was at that point that he basically eschewed historic Christianity and started embracing and flirting with what would generally be considered to be just modernist liberalism, but he's a postmodern guy in his approach. And so the kind of the dirty little secret that was let out of the bag in the New Yorker article that was published earlier this year is that basically the entire time Rob Bell was a popular youth speaker with his Numa videos and a popular author in evangelical circles, that entire time he wasn't somebody who actually believed in the authority of Scripture. He was, for all intents and purposes, just your garden variety liberal.
Now, that's kind of the history of this thing. What is it in Rob? You've read a lot of what he's written. You've listened to a lot of what he's had to say. What is it in his, and I use this very cautiously, this term, his way of doing theology,
mm-hmm.
which he apparently shares in common with an awful lot of Christians who also have come to the same conclusion. What is it in this way of doing theology that makes it pretty much inevitable that you'll find him supporting same-sex marriage?
Well, the inevitability comes from the fact that Rob Bell, as a true postmodern, is one who has mastered the postmodern technique of what's called language deconstruction. And, you know, the most ancient account of language deconstruction actually goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and we find this in the book of Genesis chapter 3, where the first question out of the serpent's mouth to Eve was, did God really say? That's kind of a form of language deconstruction, attacking the very word of God itself. Well, Rob Bell, his entire, you know, rock star life, you know, going back to his books Velvet Elvis and Sex God and even more recently Love Wins, he is one who as a standard fare, as part of his shtick, is very good at engaging in language deconstruction. And the most important way he does this is he uses deconstruction on the Bible itself. He basically finds a way to ask questions in a way that he's not seeking an answer, but the questions are posed in a particular way designed to attack the authority of Scripture itself, undermine its authority in your mind, so that he can then replace what Scripture has said with his own ideas, his own theological speculations, his own feelings, his own life experiences. And he is just the one who is the master at this technique, but many, many, many people have learned this same method from Rob Bell in evangelical circles, and they apply the same thing. But when you attack the Word of God and you make that the subject of what you're going to deconstruct, it is just a matter of time where you drift to the point where you're just saying the same thing as the general culture rather than saying what God's Word says. As soon as you unbuckle yourself from God's Word, it's anything goes, and we've seen historically where this ends up is you end up with mainline liberal denominations who, for the most part, just continue as their project to give the world what they want and call it Christianity.
Now, I listened to the 55 minutes of his interview at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, and they covered a wide variety of topics. He does like to tell his own story. That seems to be rather epistemologically significant to him. To know him and what he teaches, you got to know who he is personally. But I noticed a dearth of references to Scripture, even on openly theological questions about the church and whatnot. The few that there were, Chris, and I'm sure you've noticed this too, were kind of general references to Jesus making a difference, making your life and the world better. I mean, it did. In fact, I don't think there were really any direct references to anything in Scripture. What is that? What you're talking about?
Well, what happens is that if you can't bring the Bible back in and actually say anything with certainty. In fact, if you've listened back to the technique that he uses, is that he's pressed in that interview to actually clarify some things and as to whether or not he actually believes anything solidly, and he, you know, waffles on the question and obfuscates. This is the whole idea. Postmodernism has as its epistemology a very irrational construct, and it's all based upon what goes on inside of your innards. And so the idea is that what's true for you is a form of relativism, but it's not the old relativism. It's this idea that you are in conversation with God within community, and your experience of truth is not the same as somebody else's experience of the truth. And so the reason why your stories or Rob Bell stories are so important is because those kind of give an anchoring that you can then, in your own experience, look at your experiences and see where God is working in your life. But at the end of it, you jettison the Scriptures, and Jesus basically turns into, rather than a crucified and risen Savior, he's more like Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr. He's somebody out there who's trying to change the world and make it a better place, and you can join him in his mission. That's their Jesus and the what he's come to do, but it's radically different than what Scripture says.
The question that he poses, and he says that Jesus' message is, what do you do with people that aren't like you? What do you do with the other. Where is he getting that, and what does he mean?
Funny enough, that's a rehash of Tillich, the old liberal theologian Tillich, and a little bit Karl Barth with a Brian McLaren spin. It's kind of a postmodern cocktail of modernist liberal theology that he's come up with. That's where he's getting that from, and it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. The question is, who is the Lord of the Church, Rob Bell and his experiences, or Jesus Christ? And the only place that we can find definitively what Jesus taught is in the written Word of God, and that's the one place they will not go, because the written Word of God clearly opposes and contradicts what they believe, teach, and confess. We're dealing with a different religion altogether that uses Christian semantics in words.
He was strongly critical of American evangelicalism. I think in the past you and I have talked about the emergent church movement and agreed that some of their criticisms of evangelicalism were altogether valid at the beginning, about 10 years ago. What do you make of those criticisms now, with about a minute before our break?
Well, many of the criticisms are still poignant and correct in certain instances, but the problem is the solutions that they've put forward are not the biblical solutions. They've basically found the solutions in the same old tired places as mainline liberal denominations and the theologians that back up their ilk.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about the emergent church leader Rob Bell's recent endorsement of same-sex marriage. It's Monday afternoon, March the 18th. I invite your questions or your comments for Chris, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or a tweet at issuesetc. Chris has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference, hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org, ccle.org.
You sort of die or you adapt. And if you adapt, it means you have to come face to face with some of the ways we've talked about God don't actually shape people into more loving, compassionate people. And we have supported policies and ways of viewing the world that are actually destructive, and we have done it in the name of God, and we need to repent.
That's Emergent Church Leader Rob Bell speaking this weekend at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco about same-sex marriage and about the state of the church. He says you die or you adapt, and he's in favor of adapting and not dying. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Chris Roseborough is our guest for the next 10 minutes of the program. And Chris will also be one of the speakers at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's going to be June the 14th and the 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Chris is going to be making the case against postmodernism in the church. And this is a kind of glaring example of just that very thing. I'm sure Rob Bell's name will come up when you attend our Making the Case Conference in June. The conference is $100 per person. You can call Craig and register, 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig, 618-223-8385. Or you can register online, issuesetc.org. Rod Rosenblatt will be there. Will Whedon will be there. I will be there. Suzanne Venker, Alvin Schmidt, Chris Roseborough. And I know I'm leaving somebody out, but it's a great lineup of speakers, and we strongly encourage you to attend. Remember, ask for Craig, 618-223-8385. Let's go to the phones and see what Herman has to say. He's listening in Illinois. Hi, Herman.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. In your spotlight on Rob Bell and this emergent church that he and others espouse, is it really having any real traction, or is it become for them book writing, appearing on television, taking speakers' fees at conferences and things like this? Is this the orbit they're getting into? Because it sounds to me like it's going to be difficult to build a foundation on nailing jello to the wall.
Herman, thank you. Very perceptive question. What do you say, Chris?
I think it's a great question. If history plays out on this, what happened with guys like Tony Jones and Doug Padgett, who went this route a lot quicker, they received far less invitations rather more quickly than Rob Bell. Rob Bell had a lot more capital. He was kind of the rock star of the emergent church movement, and with the way he's going, it's pretty much he's the only type of speaking engagements he's going to be receiving in the future are those types of churches that historically would have invited somebody like a John Shelby Spong. One thing's for sure is that there's a whole slew, though, of new churches and mega churches that are very postmodern in their orientation who would welcome somebody like Rob Bell despite his very open affirmation of homosexual marriage and other things like that. So what we're going to see is that the venues that he's going to be speaking at are going to be far more liberal, but who invites him, I think we're going to be surprised at who invites him, because they're going to be being more openly liberal themselves than they have in the past.
That's what struck me, because you mentioned John Shelby Spong. I thought to myself when listening to Rob Bell, has he not read this stuff? I mean, all you got to do is go back to The Church Must Change or Die, which was Spong's last book, if I'm not mistaken, from about a decade ago. And if I'm Rob Bell, I'm just like, well, I don't need to write another book because Spong already said it 25 years ago.
Well, the issue is that Rob Bell is a far more interesting person to watch on television and to hear speak than somebody like John Shelby Spong. Spong lacked a particular cultural suave, if you would, that Rob Bell seems to still have to an effect, although he is getting older, which I think is kind of one of the bane things of the emergent church. 10 years ago, all these guys were in their early 30s, a lot younger, hip, and all that kind of stuff, and as they're getting older, balding, and not looking so good with the latest hip clothing, I think some of their hip veneer is wearing thin, and as a result of it, people are paying more attention to what they're saying and less to their cultural prowess, if you would.
Now, one of the things we heard him say is that the church is going to die, or it's going to adapt. He seems to say that and this was an interesting choice of phrase, the ways of talking about God, as though we kind of have a choice about how we talk about God, haven't been particularly effective. Do I note a thread of pragmatism running through Rob Bell's theology?
Yes, you do, and that's always the major liberal case. If you go back to the early 20th century with the modernist liberals and Fosdick and the gang, they were making the same argument that the church has to change or die. And so there was a whole lot of pastors who lost their nerve and trust in the written word of God, and that the gospel is the power of God into salvation. And so they believe that somehow the church as an institution must survive by adapting to and giving what the culture wants. Well, hogwash. Jesus is the Lord of the church, and we have a message whereby people who are born dead in trespasses and sins are regenerated and brought back to life, not because of our methods and not because we've told them what they want to hear, but because we've told them the thing that they didn't even know they needed to hear, and that's that they are dead in trespasses and sins and are liable to face the wrath of God, and that the good news is that Christ died for their sins and is offering them full and complete pardon. Repent and believe the good news. Rob Bell's telling us to repent of preaching the good news and instead talk about God in ways that are more, you know, culturally relevant and hip and what people want to hear and get with the times. But we know from history that this is a formula for disasters, because after modernist liberalism ran through the churches and the mainline denominations, what it literally did was cause them to be huge churches with nobody attending except for maybe 15 or 20 gray-haired old ladies. And, you know, this is a formula for destroying the church, not growing it. The church is grown through the word of God and the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins won by Christ on the cross.
With only about a minute here, what is in that phrase, ways of talking about God? What does that mean?
Well, see, Rob Bell's new book is called What We Talk About When We Talk About God. And so when he talks about ways in which we talk about God, he's engaging in the same postmodern language deconstruction. And so he's saying that the problem is how we talk about God, and we have to find new ways of talking about it. So it's all about replacing old words with new words and new concepts and new ideas by attacking the language of how people have talked about God in the past. Classic postmodernism.
Jeff listens in Philadelphia. He says, in light of today's development, that is the over the weekend, the announcement that Rob Bell is in favor of same-sex marriage, how should we view John Piper's famous or infamous tweet from around the time of Love Wins, Rob Bell's book, when it was being released, and I believe he was supportive of it?
No. John Piper's tweet, it actually caused quite a firestorm. His tweet was, "Farewell, Rob Bell."
Really?
And that was it. That was just, and the emergents just hated it. They were they rued the comment. And so I think what we should say is that Piper nailed it. He got it right. And farewell, Rob Bell. Indeed, that is absolutely the case. Rob Bell doesn't preach the same gospel, doesn't believe in the same Jesus as the historic Christian faith and what Scripture reveals. So we should say farewell to him. He's not somebody who you want teaching your children what Christianity is.
Now, you said earlier that when kind of the deconstructing liberalism moved through mainline denominations, it left them largely empty.
Yes.
Are we watching deconstructing liberalism, albeit in a repackaged form, move through American evangelicalism?
Yes, we are. And in the short term, what we're seeing is that those who are selectively embracing postmodern ideas and methodologies, they're in the early phases experiencing an increase in people coming to their churches. But as we know from the modernist liberals, okay, that's not going to be that way in the long run. In the long run, what we're going to see is the more churches that embrace this postmodern epistemology and nonsense, the long term effect is going to leave these churches completely empty and bankrupt.
So, if you could put it in a nutshell, someone who's unfamiliar with Rob Bell and his message and how it continues to evolve, but in a very predictable direction, with about a paragraph, how would you describe his message, and how would you respond to it?
His message is that God wants us to join him in making the world a better place and making people more loving and kind and things like that. The problem is that he's promoting the fruit of the Holy Spirit without repentant faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and he doesn't talk in terms of sin and repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He talks in terms of joining God and in making the world a better place and helping people to experience resurrection or some such nonsense. It's all word games. It's not the biblical message, and the thing that he attacks and hates is the written, sure, and certain Word of God, and that's why he spends so much time attacking it and then trying to replace what Scripture says with his own message.
Chris, what do you have lined up for tonight's Fighting for the Faith? About 30 seconds.
We're going to be doing part three of our theological critique of the History Channel miniseries, The Bible, and we're going to be looking at the false Jesus of the miniseries that made his appearance last night.
Oh, boy. You can listen to Fighting for the Faith 1 hour from now, right after Issues, etc., at piratechristianradio.com. Pirate Christian Radio, all one word, .com. Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he hosts that daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues, etc., on this Monday afternoon, March the 18th, we're going to turn to a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker and look at Luke chapter 22, Christ instituting the Lord's Supper. Luke tells the story in the midst of the Passover meal, and so that offers a few challenges to the reading. But one of the things that we need to point out very early in our conversation with Pastor Baker is that whether you read it from Matthew or Mark or Luke or 1 Corinthians, the four primary places that we find Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, how Jesus says the same thing. The story is couched in slightly different contexts in each one of those contexts, but Jesus says exactly the same thing about the bread, about the wine, about his body, about his blood. And we'll get into that Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker in hour two of Issues, etc. You know, there's really nothing new under the sun. It's the same old stuff being recycled again and again and again. And when you realize what it is, what the old lie is, did God really say, you learn to recognize that lie coming from a lot of different places, including Rob Bell. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.